Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi there, and welcome to On Deadline. I'm your host, Lauren Berry, and today we're breaking down the biggest things going on in the United States. Those are the government shutdown and its effect on air travel, the big Democratic election wins this week, including New York's first-of-his-kind mayor, and redistricting in California. Let's kick off things with redistricting, which is much more interesting than the word itself would imply. California voters approved Proposition 50 this week. It redraws California districts to give Democrats a shot at winning as many as 5 additional seats. And this is a tit-for-tat battle. That's just enough seats to balance out Texas Republicans' redrawn maps, meant to pick up 5 GOP seats. Did you really think things would end there? Have you met America? Here's Phil Mateer with more on the GOP reaction to California's vote.
State Republicans wasted a little time filing suit to block Proposition 50, which voters approved in yesterday's special election. So, Phil, what are the arguments to block the new map?
What they're basically saying is that California Democrats used race in redistricting the lines for the congressionals in order to increase the chances of Democratic wins in the Central Valley and in the North. And the Democrats say that, you know, that was a factor, but not the factor. So what we have is the old question of, you know, what should you base the lines on? And the Democrats, you know, chose it to do, try to make it one way, and the Republicans wanted another way. This suit doesn't come as that big of a surprise because the Republicans tried to keep it off the ballot, you know, using similar arguments. That didn't work. And so now they're going to ask for an injunction, somebody to hit the brakes on it, at least until after the midterms.
And so the specific group, they say that it favors Latinos. So this racially discriminates against non-Latinos?
Yeah, basically, what they're saying is that that the Democrats at the beginning said that they were doing it in order to enhance Hispanic representation in some of these districts. Now, Hispanic usually equals Democrats is what they were thinking, and they were looking to increase the Democrats, actually. It's funny because now the Democrats are saying they sort of dropped the political correctness of saying we're enhancing minority representation, said, no, that was a factor. But the real factor is we were just out to draw them so they'd be more heavily Democratic, which Margie, ironically, is what the Supreme Court said is acceptable. They said it was acceptable for state lawmakers in states across the union to use party preference as a way to keep their power, but not use race. So it's a good thing we didn't go to law school or graduate, because that's a real house of mirrors when you get into arguments like that.
Yeah, in the weeds. Okay, there was a social media post I got to ask you about. So Governor Newsom's press office saying they haven't reviewed the lawsuit, but, and this is quoting, if this is from the California Republican Party and Harmeet Dillon's law firm, it's going to fail. good luck, losers. That's the quote. What do you make of this language, the pushback? Are these Newsom's words, or if they're not, is Newsom enjoying being Trump's adversary?
Oh, come on. He's loving it. He's loving it. This is the type of rhetoric and move that has increased and enhanced Gavin Newsom's profile nationally. He seized on this issue, the redistricting of California, after Texas did it. As he said, you poke the bear roars back. And that's what California is doing. They're trying to match Texas with it increased its Republican seats, and they're trying to match it with more Democrats. Yes. The language, is it something out of high school? Yes. But actually, that in these days between Donald Trump, Gavin Newsom, and the like, and social media and all use of all capitals, that's where we are.
All right. Thanks so much. As always, we appreciate you. We live in interesting times, don't we?
Not to be outdone, on the other coast, New York essentially told California to hold its beer and elected the nation's first Democratic socialist and Muslim mayor. Here's a breakdown from KCBS in the Bay Area about how that all happened and what experts expect to happen next, including fears from New York's large Jewish population.
Making national headlines and reverberating really around the world, New York City has a new mayor-elect, 34-year-old Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani. Emerged victorious last night. He's set to become the city's first Muslim mayor. For more on Mamdani's upstart campaign, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by J.C. Polanco, assistant professor at University of Mount St. Vincent in New York. Professor, good to talk with you. How did this little-known Democratic Socialist get elected mayor in New York City?
Look, first, congratulations to Assemblyman Mamdani. You're right. He's an assembly member representing about 125,000 people in a small district in Western Queens. And he was able to galvanize thousands and thousands of young people to come and support him. He registered tens of thousands of new voters on the rolls and was able to rewrite the political playbook in New York City by bringing on new campaign tactics that we had never seen before. Every single social media post was a movie production. He was able to connect with people where they were, and it didn't matter what you threw at him. He was able to be that happy warrior and was able to connect with people all across the city. And he had the discipline of a Marine on three issues: affordability, which was really freezing the rent, free buses, and free universal daycare for everyone. Sounds like a lot of promises. A lot of promises made. Now, a lot of New Yorkers are going to want to know, are these going to be promises kept?
Yeah, that's going to take some money to give everybody a free ride on the bus and free daycare. You know, he was up against Andrew Cuomo, a former governor of New York State. Curtis Sliwa was the Republican, the founder of the Guardian Angels. How did Mamdani manage to get past two names that people really, whether they like him or not, had heard of in New York?
Well, you have to remember, we had record turnout. Over 2 million voters came out to the polls. And let's face it, Assemblyman Mamdani was able to defeat the opposition because the opposition was divided. Look, if you were to bring the opposition together, we have a divided city. It's about 50% versus 49%. So you have about half of the city voted against Assemblyman Mamdani. So he was able to win yesterday because he secured his support from the primary. He expanded his base with Democrats. He was the first name on the ballot. If you wanted to go find former Governor Cuomo, you had to go on a scavenger hunt to find him. And he was still able to put off about 42% of the vote. If you combine the opposition united would have had a very different story today out of New York City, which is why so many people were begging Curtis Sliwa to look at the poll numbers and think about dropping out and supporting the former governor so that they can beat back the Democratic Socialists, who were promising increased tax hikes and other policies, including lowering the number of police. We were talking about freezing rents, which are going to have a very strong impact on rent, on landlords. There was going to be an increase of at least 2% on taxes, which meant a devastating impact on the budget. For example, in New York City, and this is important for San Francisco folks to know, in New York City, 51% of all income tax revenue is collected by the top 1% of income earners. What's going to happen next if you increase the taxes on those folks? Are they going to leave? Are they going to go elsewhere, leaving the city in the lurch? So remember, he did win. He won, but he barely won. When you consider barely won the majority of New Yorkers. So he has to bring the city together. job number one for Assemblyman Mamdani will be to bring New York City together. Lastly, 66% of Jewish New Yorkers voted against Assemblyman Mamdani. A lot of it has to do with some of the videos that were out there on things that he had said about Jews in Israel. He has to bring that community back and tell them that he's their mayor too, and he's changed his tune on a lot of the things he said before becoming mayor-elect.
Yeah, New York City has more Jewish people than any city in the world.
About a million.
People right.
That, Steve, about a million. But you also have about a million Muslims. So they have their first mayor ever. It's a very important day for them, but we have to remember that you have a lot of Jews that are concerned about his decision not to denounce the term globalized the intifada. That hurt a lot of Jews as I speak to them, and that's why they didn't support him. So he has a lot of work to do in front of him.
Great analysis, Professor. Thank you. That's J.C. Polanco, Assistant Professor at University of Mount St. Vincent in New York.
Now that we have our mayor-elect, it appears Zohran Mamdani has been issued his first challenge from President Trump. That's over who will be the one to pick up the phone first.
I would say he should reach out to us, really. I think he should reach out. Right. I'm here. We'll see what happens, but I would think that it would be more appropriate for him to reach out to us.
Speaking on Fox News, the president called Mamdani's victory a bad start, particularly when in his speech he said that to get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us.
I think it's a very dangerous statement for him to make. He has to be a little bit respectful of Washington, because if he's not, he doesn't have a chance of succeeding.
Turns out there was no concession call from Andrew Cuomo Tuesday night. A Cuomo spokesman says that was because of comments Mamdani made during his speech, including saying he hoped it was the last time he would utter Cuomo's name. Whether the mayor-elect wanted FDNY Commissioner Robert Tucker to stay on next year is not clear, but regardless, that won't be happening. Tucker announced Wednesday that he will resign next month. For his part, Mamdani is getting his transition team together. They include former Adams First Deputy Mayor Maria Torres Springer, United Way Local President Grace Bonilla, former Federal Trade Commissioner Lena Khan, and former de Blasio political strategist Ilana Leopold, who will head the team.
With the Unisphere as a backdrop, Zohran Mamdani promised to honor the trust New Yorkers put in him, paraphrasing a line from his opponent's father, Mario Cuomo.
The poetry of campaigning may have come to a close last night at 9, but the beautiful prose of governing has only just begun.
The 34-year-old political novice who gained worldwide attention is under intense scrutiny.
The passion of an undimmed potential for government to meet the needs of working people across this city, that is something that we fully intend to deliver on.
Mamdani also said he plans to work with Jewish leaders to deliver on the promise of not just protecting Jewish New Yorkers, but celebrating and cherishing them.
The Anti-Defamation League has announced an initiative to track Mamdani's policies and personnel appointments. They say the goal is to protect Jewish residents across the boroughs during what they called a period of unprecedented anti-Semitism in New York City. It appears we have several new incidents in one borough.
The NYPD is investigating 3 different incidents of Jewish hate crimes across Brooklyn. New York State Senator Sam Sutton speaking out about this kind of violence.
A yeshiva, a cemetery, and a Jewish social service organization were all sprayed with swastikas. Why? Simply because they stand for Judaism. This is something completely unacceptable in our state.
Governor Kathy Hochul putting a warning out, saying whoever is responsible for this will be caught.
NYPD are working closely with our state police, who I've deployed to assist with this. We also know that we're going to investigate this.
In response, Mayor-elect Mamdani took to X to call what happened in Brooklyn a disgusting and heartbreaking act of anti-Semitism that has no place in our beautiful city.
While President Donald Trump wasn't on any ballots during this week's election day, he did weigh in on the election that ushered in California's redistricting and the one that brought New York its new mayor. He actually blamed the fact that he wasn't on the ballot and the ongoing government shutdown for these sweeping Democratic wins. The first real impacts of that shutdown I just mentioned are about to be felt at airports across the U.S. These airports announced that they may have to reduce and stop flights altogether. Airports in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago are among 40 of the busiest across the country where flights will be cut starting Friday due to the government shutdown. That's according to a list distributed to the airlines and obtained by the Associated Press. The Federal Aviation Administration announced that it would reduce air traffic by 10% across high-volume markets to maintain travel safety as air traffic controllers go unpaid and exhibit some signs of strain during this shutdown. The affected airports in more than two dozen states include the busiest ones across the U.S. That's Minneapolis-St. Paul, Atlanta, Denver, Dallas, Orlando, Miami, San Francisco, and in some of the biggest cities, such as New York, Houston, and Chicago, multiple airports will be affected. It's long past time for President Trump and Speaker Mike Johnson to act like grown-ups and sit down and talk to us about how to get out of this shutdown. That's what Senator Tina Smith recently said about this historic shutdown. The only path forward is through negotiating, so air traffic in the skies above Minnesota and the country can keep operating safely and at full capacity, and our government can finally open up again, she added. Here's KCBS with more on what to expect.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The FAA has announced that airline traffic will be reduced by 10% in 40 high-volume markets starting on Friday morning. The intent is to maintain safety amid the government shutdown as airports across the nation struggle with staffing shortages and air traffic controllers continue to work unpaid. And to learn about what this could mean, we are joined live by aviation consultant Mike McCarron. Well, the timing just couldn't be worse with the Thanksgiving holidays coming up. when we're talking about specific markets, about which airports will be affected, I mean, the FAA says they're going to release a list.
What they may look at is the major markets, the Bay Area, New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Chicago area, and start looking at, you know, we have three major airports in the Bay Area, as New York has three major airports in their operating area. And they may start saying, you know, to airlines, you have to cut back by 10%, and you can decide, but if you have a flight from Chicago to San Francisco that goes to San Jose, Oakland, and San Francisco, why do you need all three? And so they may start looking at ways to winnow those down. And I think that's where they're going to start looking at, put the pressure on the airlines to make the choices. And the first thing the airlines are going to look at is, what are the least profitable routes? And so those are the first ones the airlines are probably going to cut, the ones that are making the least amount of money for them.
Wow. How do you think that 10% reduction figure was determined? Is that safety-specific metrics?
I just think they looked at the number right now. They don't, you know, they know how many aircraft they can handle if with so many controllers. If they go down a certain level, controllers are going to have to cut it down. They probably did an estimate of that. That would be 10% reduction in operations.
And how long do you think this reduction could last? Will it last as long as the government shut down, or could it get worse?
I think it could get worse before it gets better, as long as the government shut down. If the government comes back up and operational, it would probably go away in a matter of days. But if the shutdown continues, I think it could increase. And you're going to see airlines trying to get creative. As you know, as we all know, there's a lot of operation between San Francisco and Los Angeles. So instead of having to fight every hour, they may use large aircraft and go every 3 hours or something like that to move the same number of people. But the airlines are going to have to be creative in how they reduce their flight operations by 10%.
Were there some recent incidents or specific data points that led the FAA to conclude that this reduction was immediately necessary?
Nothing I'm aware of. I think it's they're just looking at numbers and trying to be proactive about the situation. But we know that there's problems been in Phoenix with the number of staffing in the tower and in the local TRACON in Southern California. So I think all these things are coming to a head right now, and the FAA is trying to be a little ahead of the game right now.
How should travelers with existing bookings in these affected markets prepare?
They need to be proactive as well. They need to get a hold of their carriers and find out. Once the list comes out, that's the number one thing, to see if they're in an affected operating area. If they are, they got to get a hold of their carrier and find out what the carrier's next plan is, what they plan to do to accommodate them. Are they going to route them through another operational area? Are they going to, as I said, upgauge to bigger aircraft with fewer operations? So all these things are still remain to be seen. But the best thing anyone can do is stay in touch with your air carrier.
Of course, this is bad for travelers, the inconvenience, the stress. But what about the airline industry? What's the estimated economic impact cost of this air traffic reduction for the airlines, the airports?
It's going to be a huge, it's a reduction of the operations of the airline, which is bad customer service and bad image, and so they're going to have deal with that. The airport makes money on every plane that touches down at the airport, so they're going to lose landing fees. And so that's going to impact on the operations, how much revenue goes into every airport in the nation. So all this whole snowball effect that goes down the line when all these operations are cut back.
And how will this capacity reduction impact airfares?
Well, it's law of supply and demand says if you have fewer supply, fewer options, and a high demand, the cost is going to go up. So I think that things are going to go up more than they're going to come down.
Can you envision any emergency measures that the FAA could consider to incentivize controllers to remain on the job?
Not right now. It's very difficult. You can't force someone to work without guaranteeing their pay. They could try to move maybe some military controllers, but military controllers are trained differently. It's similar, but it's not the same, and certainly not the volume of operations that commercial controllers deal with. So they could do military in a short-term process to get them in some places, but they couldn't handle the volume, certainly over the holidays, that we're going to expect.
Thank you so much for breaking it down for us. We certainly appreciate your expertise. That is aviation consultant Mike McCarron.
As I record this, we're in the midst of the longest shutdown in U.S. history. President Trump's latest solution involves changing the Senate's rules to eliminate the filibuster, which would force a reopening on the minority Democrats. It's been called the, quote, nuclear option. But Republicans are pretty desperate for a reopening at this point, and they're calling for a review of the matter at the urging of the president. Here's Tommy Tucker at WWL Radio in New Orleans, tackling filibusters.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Let's talk about the filibuster, shall we? President Trump wants to get rid of it, and believe it or not, we do some research on this show. And I'm looking at a story from CNN that an editor's note says a version of this story was first published in 2021 when Democrats were trying to end the filibuster. So before anybody goes crazy with the text line about President Trump this, Democrats that, keep in mind it's all about who's in power at the time and who can best benefit from doing whatever it is they can do. With that, we welcome in Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Let's start with filibuster 101 for people that know of it, but perhaps don't know what exactly it is. What is a filibuster?
So basically, the filibuster is preventing a bill from getting a floor vote in the Senate. So in the House of Representatives, there is a motion called motion to the table, and the motion in the House in order to call for a vote doesn't exist in the Senate rules, which means that as long as you have the floor to keep debating, you can keep talking, and then you can give the floor to one of your friends.
Wait, go back a second, Professor, if you can. I want to go slow because it's early and we're talking about the House here, right? Yep.
Okay, so in the House, all you have to do is call for a vote, and that just requires passing that motion on a strict majority line.
So in the House, if I'm talking about a bill
another member can rise according to the procedure and say what? Tableless.
Okay, so in the House, all that has to happen is you introduce a motion to call for a floor vote. That motion requires a strict majority to pass. You can end debate, and then you just get a floor vote.
At any point, I can do this. If somebody's talking, I can stand up and say this. I can say, Mr. whatever it is, Speaker, whoever's running the House at the time, I call for a floor vote on blah, 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 and a simple majority ends it, right?
Basically, you can also have a rule in the House which will end debate after a specific period of time, and okay. That's written into the rule for a bill.
All right.
So there are a bunch of ways in the House that will just end debate and prevent this endless debate. Now, in the Senate, it doesn't work that way. So in the Senate, what will happen is that you can start talking, and you can talk for as long as you want to talk, and then you can give the floor to one of your friends who will talk and talk and talk, and then that can go on endlessly. And the only way to end debate in the Senate is with a motion called cloture. So there's a specific motion in the Senate called the cloture motion. Now, this was introduced in 1917, and the original threshold for a cloture motion when it was introduced in 1917 was two-thirds. So you had to get two-thirds of the Senate to agree to end debate and vote on a bill. Mm-hmm. So it would require a majority to pass a bill, but you had to get two-thirds of the Senate to agree to end debate to get to that majority threshold.
Now, hang on 1 second. Let me just go slow if I can, Professor, because for a lot of us, the only reference we have to this is Mr. Smith goes to Washington and Jimmy Stewart talking until he was hoarse, right, and all of that stuff. So at that point in the 30s, whenever it was, somebody could stand up while they were reading, because I remember in high school civics, they would tell us, you know, they would read this, they would read that, they'd read the phone book, whatever it was to keep the floor. As long as they could keep talking, they could keep the floor. But at any point, somebody could have stood up and called for a vote on cloture if they had two-thirds of the votes, and that's why they were counting votes in the chambers and all that kind of stuff?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So now, two-thirds is really hard to get, obviously.
Right.
So in 1975, they reduced the threshold to 3/5, which is still hard to get. Mm-hmm. And when you have 100 senators, that means you had to get 60 votes in order to end debate.
And that's where we are now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where we are now for regular bills. So there are a couple of exceptions. So we use the nuclear option for judicial positions and executive branch appointments, and we can talk about that.
Yes,
and
let's talk about the nuclear option since you brought it up. What is that?
Yeah. Okay, so the nuclear option is basically where the majority party says that the rules don't exist. The rules are whatever we say they are because we're the majority party and we have more votes. Hmm. That's the nuclear option. It's basically cheating and using the fact that there are more majority party members than minority party members by definition, ignoring the rules and saying the rules don't mean anything because we say so.
So why wouldn't they, if they have a majority, why wouldn't they do it all the time?
So the reason not to do that is because at some point the majority and the minority will flip. If you're in the majority now, at some point you will be in the minority. And when you are in the minority, you will want to be able to filibuster, because whatever you want to do when you're in the majority, well, think about the minority party and the things that they will want to do that you want to stop. You will then want to filibuster with the minority, what the current minority, then majority, will want to do. And if you don't have the filibuster available to you, then they will be able to ram through all the things that they want to do, and you won't be able to stop them. So the filibuster is basically a way to kind of moderate the policymaking process.
But wait, let me interrupt for one second, just so I understand. So the majority party at any point can change the rules and either bring back or do away with the filibuster?
Well, it can do away with the filibuster, but it can't really bring it back, because once you do away with the filibuster, you've thrown out the rules and you've thrown out all trust. It's hard to bring it back. It's hard to come back from it, which is why we call it the nuclear option.
But they have done it before, right?
Well, we have gone in one direction. We've gone in the direction of getting rid of the filibuster for judicial appointments and executive branch appointments. We haven't gone in the other direction. We haven't brought the filibuster back. It's kind of a one-way thing. Once you get rid of the filibuster, bringing it back is kind of hard to conceive of, because once you do that, you have created a Senate in which the majority party just throws out the rules whenever they feel like it.
I got you.
It's hard to come back from that.
I got you. But they have used, when it comes to reconciliation, that's a different thing as well, correct?
Yeah, that's a different thing, because that's actually written into the rules. So there's a process called budget reconciliation, and budget reconciliation automatically ends debate after a set period of time, so you don't have to call for cloture. Now, you can only use budget reconciliation in specific ways on specific kinds of bills, but when you use budget reconciliation, debate ends after a specific period of time, so there's no need for a cloture vote. So it's written into the rules. You don't need to use the nuclear option, and you can use budget reconciliation on specifically fiscal issues. You're not allowed to increase the deficit for more than 10 years, so there are some limitations. But because it's written into the rules of the Senate, it's not the majority party saying the rules mean whatever we say they mean because we're in the majority party.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because what I'm hearing is either karma or payback, however you want to look at it. You better watch what you ask for, because you might get it, because next time you might be on the wrong side of this. And that's why John Thune is saying, no, hang on a second, we're not going to do away with the filibuster. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, because when it comes to national political policy, personally, I don't think it can hurt to understand what the heck it is we're talking about. 622 Traffic Now, WWL. 627 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, about the filibuster, how the President Trump wants to kill it. John Thune, the majority leader in the Senate, says he does not. Somebody texted in, I don't know if they've been listening or not, but says the Republicans need to go nuclear. They need to use the majority that they have and open the government. If they were to do away with the filibuster, for this person that texted in and is all for it now, what would they have to consider in the future, Professor? Apparently, I don't know if they understood the first part of the conversation or not.
What that person would have to consider would be what would happen if there would be, say, a President Ocasio-Cortez and a Democratic majority in the House and Senate after the 2028 election. I suspect that whoever texted that in is probably a Republican who would not be happy with what would happen with a President Ocasio-Cortez and a Democratic House and Senate, because there would be no Republican filibuster to stop whatever would happen under that scenario, because this works both ways. You cannot create an option that is going to be used by your party that won't then be turned around on you when you're in the minority. And that's exactly what the filibuster is. It's a tool to stop the majority party, whichever party is the majority, and it then serves as kind of a moderating influence.
This goes to the nature of the founding fathers and the Senate being the more deliberative body, does it not?
Yeah, there's actually some historical debate on whether the filibuster was intentional, because there's the previous question motion is the motion specifically written into the House rules for ending debate. And the previous question motion was not introduced into the Senate rules. And how intentional was that? But there's a lot of other evidence that the Senate was intended to be a moderating influence, even aside from that. And that was very much the founder's intent. Yeah.
Even to the 6-year terms, right?
Yes, that's part of it. Also, the Senate was not originally directly elected. That's also part of it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of On Deadline, the show that brings you top news from Odyssey stations coast to coast. This episode was written and produced by Christy Strouser and by me. You can listen to and subscribe to On Deadline on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.